Well, turning your Bibles, of course, to Romans chapter 13, we continue our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome, and we said this is indeed a foundational letter of the New Testament. We say truths that we need to know and to apply so that we'll not only be grounded in the truth of God's Word, but we'll be able to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Now, we've divided the book of Romans into two big parts. Chapters 1 through 11 are doctrine and teaching, and then chapters 12 through 16, the application, living out who we are. We've moved into that practical section of the book. We've seen so much that we need to know and that we need to live out so that we can grow and that we can make a difference. And see, that's the plan, is to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ and to be like Him. And one day when we stand before our Savior, we'll hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's the plan. We looked this morning at this passage. Paul's going to deal with the key issue, one of the key issues of our Christian lives, and that's living godly as we await the return of our Savior. How do we live as we wait for Jesus to come back? As we look at this section this morning, we're going to deal with several things. First of all, we're going to talk about the return of Christ and end time events. I'm going to just remind you that because we've seen that before. And then we're going to talk about lifestyle, being lights in the midst of a fallen world and living godly in our world. And then we're going to try to understand what he means when he says, put off the darkness and put on light. So there's some great things we'll see. And we want to be encouraged to live as lights even in the midst of a fallen world. You know, if you pick up a newspaper or look on TV, we see that there's all over this world. I mean, there's tension and wars and conflicts and suffering and death. And you think about Iraq and Afghanistan and the Middle East. And you hear people say things like, with all this that's happening, it's time for Jesus to come back. Well, the truth is, we're living in the end times. In fact, the Word of God says that any time after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's the end times. So we are in that end times, and Jesus could come back any time. And what we want to do is want to just briefly remind you of something as we get ready to get into the passage this morning. Understand these end time events and the comings of Christ. And I've taught this many times at Countryside, but I want to remind you of this, that there are three comings of Christ. There are two comings of Christ to the earth and one coming of Christ in the clouds. Let me remind you how this fits together. And as I said, I've taught this before, but I just want to make sure you've got it and understand it. The first time that Jesus Christ came to this earth, he left the glories of heaven and came to this earth by being born in Bethlehem as a person. And he grew up and lived about 30 years on the earth. And then after about 30 years, he started a ministry that lasted three and a half years. And his whole purpose was to give his life as a ransom, to come and to die for us, to pay for our sins. So the first coming of Jesus Christ was to be the sacrifice for sin, to pay for the sin of mankind. There's a second time that Jesus Christ is going to come to this earth. Revelation 19:11 says the heavens are open and we see Jesus coming, and he comes as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he comes to this earth to rule in righteousness and justice. Psalm 2 says he rules with a rod of iron. Matthew 24:25 says he rules in righteousness. And we find that in the second coming of Jesus Christ, he comes to rule for 1,000 years on this earth as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So the first coming, he comes to die. The second coming to the earth, he comes to reign. But in between those two comings, he comes in the clouds, not to the earth, but in the clouds. And he comes to take those who know Jesus Christ as Savior. We call him the church, the body of Christ. He comes to take us off the earth to be with him. We call it the rapture. It comes from a Latin word, rapio, which means snatching away. And so one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to come and get us. And 1 Thessalonians says that there'll be a shout of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will be raised, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them. 1 Corinthians says it'll be a moment, and a twinkling of an eye will be changed. And that could happen at any second. The question is this. We know he's going to come get all of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. How are we living as we await the return of our Savior? As we await the return of the one who's going to come get us and take us off this earth. 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter writes this. He says, as you await for the Lord's return, in fact, he says the end is near. And then he says, do these things. He says, be praying, loving others, opening your home, and using your gifts. All of this as we await the return of Christ. Well, this morning, as we finish chapter 13, we're going to see what Paul says we should be doing as we await the return of Jesus Christ. In fact, he says he encourages us as believers to live godly as we await the return of the Lord, to put off the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. And we'll see how that ties together. May we be encouraged from this passage to live as children of light as we await the return of our Savior. Well, let's begin. You know, we've been looking at the book of Romans, and of course we always go verse by verse, passage by passage. And as we do that, we're often challenged not only to know the passage and to understand the passage, but then to make application, to put into practice what we know. And this morning we have a big challenge, because this morning he's basically saying, live as children of light. Put off the darkness and put on the light and live as those who belong to Jesus Christ. Let me break down for you chapter 13. We've got an overhead right here. I want to show this to you. This is Romans 13. We're right at the end, but let me break it down for you. We saw at the very first part, believers' relationship to the government. That was some powerful stuff. Then in verses 8 through 10, believers' relationship to others. And the key was love. And we saw that over and over. And then in verses 11 through 14, where we are now, the believer's lifestyle. And we put it believer's relationship to self, because it's the believer's lifestyle as awaiting the return of Jesus Christ. So this is where we are at the very end of the passage and what we're going to look at. And as we finish this, we want to see how this fits together. Now, I want you to think about several things. One is, as we look at this passage today, we're going to review the different aspects of salvation. Now, for some of you, you may never heard of the different aspects of salvation, but there are there. And then we want to briefly review the end time events. I touched on it a while ago, but I'm just going to touch on it one more time. And then we want to see this idea of putting off the darkness and putting on the light. As we begin, let's review. Let's look at Romans 13:11. And we actually saw this verse about 3 weeks ago before I went on vacation. Notice what he says. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. And so as we start this, he's making this encouragement. And notice what he says. He says, do this. We have to stop and say, do what? What is he talking about? Well, you have to go back to the verses in front of it. He's talking about loving one another. In fact, if you go back to Romans 13:9, he says you should love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 13:10 says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. And so the idea there, he says, do this. Love those people around you. We spent a lot of time, I think about 3 weeks ago, on the aspect of loving one another and showing love for each other. And then he says this, do this knowing the time. And he says knowing the time, he's not talking about, you know, and we know it's 9 o'clock or we know it's 11 o'clock. No, he's talking about knowing what time it is, that it's the end time, that Jesus could come at any second, that it is time for him to come get us, that we know how things function, that he came the first time to die, the second time he's going to come to reign, but in between he's going to come get us, and it is time. Jesus could come at any second. He's saying, listen, do this knowing the time, that Jesus could come any second. We must live for Christ. Look what he goes on to say. Knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believe. To understand this, and we talked about this 3 weeks ago, but to understand these verses, we need to understand two key words, the word sleep and the word salvation. You need to know how they fit so you can understand it. Let me remind you this. He says, do this, what? Love one another, because we know what time it is. We know Jesus is coming. And then he says that it is already the hour, the time for you to awaken from sleep. What could he mean? What's he talking about? Wake up from sleep? Well, we talked about that the word sleep can mean three different things. First of all, it can mean sleep just like we think of sleep, like somebody goes and falls asleep. Over in the book of Acts, it says that Peter was asleep in the cell. That's what that word means. But sometimes the word asleep means to have died. In 1 Corinthians, in chapter 11, he talks about some had sinned and they slept. That means they died. Sometimes it just refers to the fact that believers have died. In 1 Corinthians, he talks about, we shall not all sleep, but we'll all be changed. But then there's a third meaning of the word sleep, and it means to be dull. It means like you're not thinking, you're not awake, you're not alert, you're just kind of going through. And so what he says is this, and this is how it's used in this passage. He says, it's now already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. He's saying, wake up from your dullness. Wake up and realize that Jesus could come any second. And I remember 3 weeks ago, I said it this way. I said, wake up. The Lord is coming. He could be here any second. It is time for us as believers to make an impact for Christ. That's what he's been saying. And he says, it's time for us to wake up. And so he says, do this. Love one another, knowing what time it is, that it's late, that it is already the hour for you to be alert, to wake up. And then notice what he goes on to say after that. He says, for now, salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. Literally, the Greek says, now our salvation is nearer than when we believed. He says, salvation, I thought we were already saved. Well, if you remember, we already saw last time or a couple of weeks ago when we looked at this, the aspect of salvation. There are three aspects of salvation. Let me put this up for you, that when we think of aspects of salvation, first of all, there's the past aspect, that we have been saved. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you are saved, you're set apart in Christ, you have eternal life. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." You have been saved from the penalty of sin. That's past tense. But sometimes there's a present aspect of salvation, that we are being saved. Philippians 2 says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." He's talking about living your Christian life, living out who you are. We are being saved from the power of sin in our lives. And that's our growth as Christians. But then there's a third aspect of salvation, which is future. We will be saved. Romans 13:11 says our salvation's nearer than it's ever been before, nearer than when we first believed. There's going to come a time when Jesus Christ comes and gets us, takes us off this earth, and we are saved from even the presence of sin because we'll be with our Savior. And so the truth is, we have been saved, we are being saved, we will be saved. You have been saved by faith in Jesus Christ, you're saved from the penalty of sin. You are being saved day in and day out from the power of sin, and one day when Jesus comes to get you, you will be saved from the presence of sin. So he says this, wake up, be on the alert. You know what time it is, the hour is late. Our salvation, being delivered from the presence of sin, is nearer than it's ever been. It's nearer than when we first believed. And so he is challenging us and saying, as believers, we need to wake up. We need to be ready. And as I said in this passage, it's the future salvation when Jesus comes. Wake up. It's time for him to come. Now, what do we do? What do we do when we wake up? What are we supposed to do? Well, we're going to see that he's going to continue. He's going to give us a charge, and he's going to say, as you're waiting the return of Jesus Christ, you need to live for the glory of God. Look what he says. He says, do this. Go back to 11. He says, do this, knowing the time. Love one another, know the time. It's already the hour for you to wake up, to get going. For now salvation, this future salvation, is nearer to us than when we believed. And then here's his challenge. He says, the night is almost gone and the day is near. He's saying the same thing. The night is almost gone, the day is near. It's almost time for Jesus to come. You ever had one of those nights where you couldn't sleep, or that you woke up pretty early, it's like still maybe 4 in the morning, it's still dark, and you can't go back to sleep, and then you look out and you say, oh, it's beginning to get light. Yeah, the night is almost over and the day is about to come. You know it's going to be another day. He's saying here, look, this time is almost up. He's referring to the church age here as the night, and the new day is coming, and that's when Jesus Christ comes to get us. And so he says, be ready. It's nearer than it's ever been before. The night is almost gone. The day is here. Remember, first coming to die for sin. Second coming to reign as king. Coming in the clouds to take us out. It could be any second. Speaking from a biblical point of view, we would say this. We better wake up. The night is almost gone. The new day is about to come. Jesus is about to come get us. Now, he gets very practical on what we do. Notice what he says. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, here's his summary statement. Let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Lay aside the darkness and put on the light. Well, for us to understand that, we need to understand that the Bible makes a contrast between light and darkness. Darkness almost always is referring to sin, it's referring to the flesh, it's referring to the fallen man, the world and the devil and all of that. Light is almost always referring to righteousness, and a lot of times to Jesus Christ as the light of the world and godly living. So darkness is the idea of sin, and light is the idea of righteousness. In the Gospel of John, the statement is made, it says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. People do it in darkness. But he says, walk in the light as he is in the light. So there's this charge for us to lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now, let me say something. Do you know that believers can live in darkness? When you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you have eternal life. And you're saved and saved forever. But you can live in darkness. You can live just like this fallen world. Some people get so confused, and when they see believers living sinful lives, they say, they can't be a believer. They wouldn't live that way. Believers can live in darkness. We can live sinful lives. Here's the charge to us. He's saying, wake up, put off the darkness, and put on the light. Stop living sinful lives and live righteous lives. That's what he's trying to say. So notice what he does. He says, the night is almost gone, the day is near. Therefore, let's lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. But the Greek word that he uses there is the words that people use for taking off their clothes and putting on their clothes. He's saying, take off the darkness and put on the light. Notice how he says it. Lay aside the deeds of darkness, living in the flesh. And you know, we can do that. We can live just like this fallen world. And that's why the Bible says in Romans, he says, stop letting sin reign in your mortal bodies. Don't go on presenting your bodies to sin. And we can do that. He's saying, don't do that. Take it off. Get that stuff out of your life. And put on, notice how he says it, and put on the armor of light. Because when you think you hear armor of light, you immediately think of the armor of God in Ephesians. Put on the armor of God that you may stand firm against the schemes of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And as the passage goes on, so put on the armor so you can stand. And I think that's the idea. He's saying, listen, remove the stuff from your life that's darkness, the sin, the things that are like this world, and put on the armor of light. Live righteously, live godly. In a minute, he's going to say, put on Jesus Christ. He's saying, live like Jesus Christ. Live in a righteous, godly way. Now, let me say something. We have choices to make. As we await the return of Jesus Christ, we can put off sin and put on righteousness. It is a daily decision. You know who decides? We do. When you woke up this morning, did you say, Heavenly Father, I want my life to count for you today. I don't want to be pulled by the things of this world. I want to put those things away. I want to get those things out of my life. And I want to live righteously and godly today. I want my life to count for you. And as you go through life, and as the temptations, the trials, and the problems, and the ups and downs, and everything of life, as you go through life, are you saying, Lord, I do not want to be connected with the deeds of darkness, but with the armor of light. I want to live righteously and godly. And you know, Jesus Christ could come at any second. And so what does he say for us to do? The night is almost gone. The day is here. So lay aside the deeds of darkness. Don't live like the fallen world. And we can do it. We can do it. You can believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and have eternal life and not live for him and not serve him and live in sin. You can do that. Some people say, well, they're not a Christian. No, no. They're a disobedient Christian. So this is why Paul is saying, now listen, he's writing to the Romans, think about it. He's writing to them and saying, listen, do you realize what time it is? Do you realize he's close? He could come at any second. It's time to wake up. You know your salvation's nearer than it's ever been. So put off the stuff of darkness and put on the stuff of light. And he gets specific. Notice what he does in verse 13. He says, let us live properly as in the day. He says, let's live like people of the light. Live properly. Live like one who belongs to Jesus Christ. One of my favorite verses, Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy of the calling which you've been called. What are we? We're ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech through us. We're Christians. We're saints. We're called, set apart ones. We're all of those things. We need to live as a child of God, as a saint, as a called apart one, a set apart one. So he says, let's live and behave properly as in the day, as one who belongs to Christ. Now let me ask you this question. Do you live like a child of God or do you live like a child of the world? Now he's going to contrast this. He's going to tell us what not to do and then what to do. Look at the negative. The negative says, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. That's the negatives. And then he gets the positive. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. So he gives the negative and the positive. Now the negative, he gives three different things connected with the negative. While living, sexuality or illicit sexual sins, and conflicts. Those big three. Notice, look at this. He says, let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness. That's while living. Not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality. That's sexual sins. Not in strife and jealousy. That's conflicts. He's given the negative. He says, let's, as children of light, we want to put off the deeds of darkness, put on the armor of light. So if you're going to live in light, don't do these things. Let's look at them in a little bit more detail. He says, let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness. Those two words, they really go together. The idea in the Greek is wild living. When you see the word carousing, it has an idea of wild living. Of course, drunkenness, we know what that means, the idea of drinking and out of control. But these two Greek words, the way they were always used for activities that were done in secret. It's like, well, we don't want people to know we do this, but this is what we do. Now, I hope and pray that those of us who aren't connected with this fellowship, that's not an area of us for us that we're going to say, yeah, well, we're all pretty much carousing and drunk and wild living. Now, but he's saying, listen, put this out of your life. But look at the second area. Not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality. Now, sexual promiscuity, it literally has the idea of illicit sexual relationships. And the idea of sensuality is that idea that you're pulled by the lust of the flesh. Now, I want you to understand that as men and women of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to be different in this area. We've got to be different than the world. We must be the lights in a fallen world. Let me tell you, all of the studies, you know what they show? When they go and they ask all these questions and they deal with people who say they're not Christians and they deal with people who say they are Christians, did you know there's almost no difference in sexuality of believers and unbelievers? The believers are having just as much what the Bible would call illicit sex as unbelievers are. Let me say a couple of things. If you are single, from this day forward, you should choose and say, forget the past, whatever it is, forget that which is behind and press on to that which is ahead. From this day forward, you decide you're going to live godly in this in your body and your sexuality, that you're going to be a pure, godly person from this point on. And that you will wait till the day that God gives you a mate that you can be married to, and then you can have sexual relationships. But from this day forward, whatever your past has been, you decide, as one who knows that the time is short, he could come any second, you're to put off the deeds of darkness and put on the deeds of light. So make that decision. And for those who are married, realize that today God has given you a mate. And this is the person that you're to be intimate with and to be close to. And thank God for that they brought that person into your life. And as Hebrews 13 says, the marriage bed is undefiled. It's holy. It's great. And you make a decision that you're not going to build any kind of relationship with anybody else of the opposite sex. You can be friends with somebody of the opposite sex. You can't build any kind of intimacy with anybody other than your spouse. That means in your relationships, if you're a guy, in your relationships with women, you can be a friend, but you cannot build any kind of closeness. And woman, if you're a woman, you say, look, there's a lot of men out there, and I'll be their friend, but I'm not going to build any kind of relationship. Because you're married. You want intimacy? You got somebody to already have it with. Don't build it with anybody else. From this day forward, you say, I'm going to live godly in this area. And this whole idea is, he says, not only sexual promiscuity, but he says sensuality. And that's all those pools and all those things that are in our world, and especially, and I think of the men end of it, and all of the pornography and everything that's out there. You got to make a decision. I'm going to live as a child of God and a child of the light, not of this world. You make those decisions. There's a third area that he deals with, and that is, he says, not in strife and jealousy. Strife and jealousy is, of course, he's talking about getting along with one another. And that idea of strife and jealousy means that you want something that belongs to them, or you're upset about something that happens to them. I think a thing we got to remember, we're all in this thing together. How can there be strife and jealousy when God put us in the body of Christ? Each one of us are unique and special. He's given different spiritual gifts and times and talents and everything. And we're not in competition with each other. We're to live for the glory of God. We're in this thing together. There shouldn't be strife or jealousy. God's in control. He's working through our lives. And when one has sorrow, we all have sorrow. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. There should not be strife and jealousy. All goes back to pride. What should we be marked by? We should be marked by love. Romans 13:8, owe nothing to anyone but to love one another. 13:9, love your neighbor as yourself. 13:10, love does no wrong to a neighbor. We're to love each other. So he says in the negative end of it, he says, don't have the wild living and the sexual sins and the conflicts, the drunkenness, strife, all of that, sexuality. He says, but here's the positive. and look at the positive. It's verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. He says, put on Christ. And that means live like Jesus Christ. Our identification was Christ. Live with Him. Galatians 3:27 says, we have been clothed with Christ. That's the idea. When we trusted in Christ, we are like Him. We have the mind of Christ. He's saying, look, when you get up in the day, say, I'm putting on Jesus. I'm going to live like Christ. I want to live this life to glorify God and to make an impact for Jesus Christ. And so he says, look, don't get tied up into those things like drunkenness and carousing and promiscuity and sensuality and strife and jealousy. But do this. Put on Christ. Live for Jesus Christ. Have the mind of Christ. Go through life. Every morning we wake up, we have choices. And as we go through the day, we have choices. How are we going to live? Are we living for the glory of God? Or are we living for our world and our flesh? And that's what he's saying. He said, the time is short. Notice what he goes on to say. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. He says, if you put on Christ, you don't have to yield to the flesh. In fact, in Christ, Philippians 4:13, you can do all things. If you're going to not have the flesh grab you, you've got to walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5. Choices. When we live in Christ's power, when we put on Jesus Christ, when you walk out in the morning, you say to yourself, I am an ambassador for Christ, as though He were actually beseeching others through me. I am His representative on this earth. I'm to be like Him. I'm to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. I'm to be conformed to the image of the Son. And so, in a powerful way, he says, do you realize that there's not much time? And so you need to live righteously and godly. You need to put away the dark things and put on the light things and live for our Savior. What have we seen? Wake up. Be alert. Christ's coming is near. Live in the light, not the darkness. Put off the deeds of the flesh and put on Jesus Christ, having victory over the flesh. Let me give you the application. First of all, it's just a simple one to start with. He says, let us live godly lives as we await the return of Jesus Christ. Now, that's the key. That's what the passage is about. As you're awaiting the return of Jesus Christ, live a godly life. A says, be alert. Christ could come at any time. I mean, He could come at any time. That's why I think this passage says, and you know, you look at that and you go, well, but you know, JB, that was 57 A.D. when this was written. That's been almost 2,000 years. Well, let me tell you, if He could have come any time then, He should have come any time now. It's that much closer even. We don't know how long He's going to let us stay on this earth. We don't know how long it's going to be before He comes and takes the church off the face of the earth. So be alert, because He could come at any time. One, salvation is nearer than when we believed. Our deliverance from the presence of sin. Now, we have been saved, we are being saved, but we will be saved, and it's nearer than it's ever been. Number two is understand these end times. It'd be great if you could understand and sit down and say, okay, I know, here's the first coming of Christ, here's the second coming of Christ, first time He came to die, second time He comes to rule, and then in between is this rapture thing where we're taken out. Understand that, because a lot of people don't. You'll hear people say, well, you know, there's wars and rumors of wars. That means Jesus could come in any second to get us. Look, there are no signs for the rapture. The wars and rumors of wars are all signs for the second coming of Christ, not the rapture. There are no signs for the rapture. He could come in any second. So understand that. B, live in light, not darkness. Number one, let's put away the deeds of the flesh. I mean, it's a conscious choice that we decide as believers that we're going to live not in the flesh. Because you can live in the flesh as a believer. You can. Number two, let's put on Christ and live righteously. So we need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, but living for Jesus Christ. He's coming soon. How should we live? As Paul says, wake up. It's later than you think. He could be here any second. Put off the deeds of the flesh. Put on the armor of light. Live righteously and godly in this world. May we live godly lives as we await the return of our Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for these truths. Lord, we just want to live godly lives as we wait the return of Christ, because, Lord, we know he could come at any second. We got to be alert. We got to wake up realizing that time is almost up. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. He could be here any time. May we understand these end times, add this together, that we have been saved and we are being saved and we will be saved, and the first coming and the second coming and the rapture and all of those things. But Lord, as we wait, we want to live in lightness, in light, not darkness. We want to put away, put off the deeds of flesh. We want to take off that aspect of the world and the things that we saw in verse 13 about carousing, drunkenness, and promiscuity, and sensuality, and sexuality, and strife, and jealousy. We want to put away the deeds of the flesh, and we want to put on Jesus Christ and live righteously. Lord, I just thank you for this body of believers. Lord, I just ask you that you would use us in such a way that as we go out these doors, we will live godly lives awaiting the return of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.